I was vice president. He said, if you don't do this among yourselves, get together and cooperate and build your abstracting services and improve them, the government will take over and do it themselves. That was a real threat.
And the Cleveland Plain dealer thought it was coming to Case Western at $100 million a year. Well, now, Kent and Perry and Barry had the metals system going at Case right. Western.
They probably were the first in R&D. Perry, Kent, and Barry had been at Yale University, I think just Perry and Kent. And
I think at MIT, I believe.
MIT?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, sure, MIT, right. Where they got
yeah.
together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they went to Battelle in 55 for a year or two, and then they went up to Case Western Reserve, and Perry had the idea. Two ideas, kind of interesting. One idea was that you could put all man's knowledge in a pinhead if you changed two laws of physics. And he tried even up at Case Western Reserve, then he later went to Arizona at the university to do this. And this, of course, obviously we couldn't at the time, but the other was that you could do telegraphic abstracts through a computer or by a computer. And he had an old tube. He had built himself a computer up at Case Western Reserve, a computer out of cathode ray tubes, and took a couple rooms of a home where he did his research and development, telegraphic abstracts for the American Society of Metals. He got them to agree at the time that that would be a good experiment for doing computer-based searching, building of their database, and it never proved out well.
This was the CWRU selector, as I recall.
Was that it?
Was that the,
I think
yeah.
you're right. How do you remember that, pray tell?
I've been digging around in this yeah. stuff recently. It's not a matter of remembering. It's just they've been digging around in the lake.
But Dr. Edkinson came to our board meeting, closed board meeting there at the hotel, and he said, if you don't do this to cooperate and build up your capabilities, more efficient, effective information, abstracting services, the government will take over and do it themselves. And he was right. They would.
Mm-hmm. And this is what led, that kind of push led to Enphase cooperating. You all supplying tapes to biological
Bert
abstracts.
And Miles, I told you, started the meeting in 58 to get us together.
Mm-hmm.
But he threatened us at that board meeting in Cleveland that if we didn't do it, the government would take over. And Weinberg came out and said that later mm-hmm. in, say, 61. But it was the next year that I became president, and we decided that a cooperate would require consultants' help to independent help to get us to see how we could work together to build more efficient, effective information services. And the it was a very important report. You probably know the name of the report better than I do. The consulting group up there.
System development.
No, not that one. Heck, it was a very important report. When I was president, we spent money which the government financed, independent study of what needs to be done to provide information services of the future. And one of their suggestions, proposals, their main proposal was that by putting together from each of the abstracting services at the time, 16 of us, I believe, to package it in a vertical method for projects like space research and other materials, by getting input from all the abstracting services into one common database, building specialized information services would be the best way to go. want to meet the needs of the different disciplines or missions or projects in fields of science and engineering at the time. And we took that to Organization X, we called it. We'd had to form an Organization X that would take input from each of the abstracting services, and they could decide what fields should be built on the vertical lines of cross disciplinary lines for achieving certain missions. And Bert turned us down, NSF turned us down, and he was right at the time. He said we couldn't do that. I had gotten ACS Board of Directors approval. About four of us had got approval to start on an experimental pilot plant basis to do that from input from different people. We weren't any of us computerized then. We were all trying. But Bert said, no, you can't do this. You're not ready yet. And so he turned us down. And, you know, he won an award just back in the 80s, 70s, 80s. And he said to me, he said, Dale, the abstracting services are now ready to do what organization wanted to do. He said, you actually took 20 years to become ready to do that. Yeah. It's right, automatically input from different services, right, rather than duplicate it. We're all duplicating our work right now. Mm-hmm. Information Services in America are writing separately their abstracts and their indexing of their disciplines. NASA has an abstracting services that Mel Day started. Do you ever talk to Mel Day if you get a chance?
He's on our list.
He was one of my... Well, he was at their first meeting with me.
Yeah.
He's the only one I think that's still living there. It was their first meeting. And
he's one of the folks that I want to interview, and I'm hoping he'll agree.
He's got a very lovely wife. He's still active in the field. He has his own day consulting field. And Mel's a chemist. He's a very good guy. I call him Frankie Sinatra. He talks and acts like Frankie Sinatra. And he's my bridge player when we traveled. He and I were always partners at bridge in Russia and all over. You know, I got a good picture of him today. One morning, Sunday morning, flying from Moscow to Novosibirsk, which is 4,000 miles east of Moscow, right in the heart of the Siberia. And that's where they built the first Academia Gordok. Academia Gordok was carved out of the wilderness along this man-made lake called Lake Ob. And there are 16 large institutes that Academia Gordok has built there. Chemical Research Institute, and there's a Computer Institute, and Biology and Physics. And the scientists of the world wanted and loved to go to Academia Gordok to study, to do research. And the people wanted to go out there and live because they had good housing, and it was free from any political influence of the Soviet communist system. And so the people that went to the Academia Gordok, anyhow, one morning on the plane going from Moscow to Academia Gordok, the big heavy set stewardess on the plane was serving breakfast, and we hadn't slept all night. We'd been playing bridge by this little light, and this stewardess, Russian woman, handed Mel Day a little platter of a green apple and a sardine. And Mel's a very finicky guy with food. And when he saw that, called Larry Luntz, Vice President of McGraw-Hill, held that little sardine up in front of Mel Day. The worst, saddest, sickest expression I've ever seen on a man was Mel Day's. It's my favorite picture. He was just fit to be tied.
If I talk with him, I'll remind him of that.
We played bridge on the train and on the plane and in our hotel rooms. And
let's go back to one of your competitors, namely Eugene Garfield and ISI. A couple of things that he said about Chem Abstracts and about the field in general have intrigued me. He said in his view that CAS was always more responsive to industry than it was to the researcher.
That's
in
interesting.
The field.
I didn't know that he felt that way. I doubt that was true. If you don't know it, they had a very big study in America about chemical research, and the definition of research in chemistry was that work that was going on in the universities. And the industrial R&D was more applied, and only the fundamental work was being done in the universities. And I know we, in most of the scientific papers from around the world, 500,000 more a year are more from universities than from industry research. Of course, the patents are industry, and we had hired the patents way back in starting in 1920, so industry is dependent upon CAA back then for patents on coverage. A very important industry, but the chemical research is defined and that work being done in universities was what we really were focusing on as much as anything else. We actually had to cover all complete coverage of the scientific research. So I don't think
he may have meant this more in terms of products that you were producing. For example, one of the things that he said was that CAS refused to publish what turned out to be Index Chemicus when he started publishing it, that he tried to get CAS to produce that kind of product, and that you all refused to do it. And
that's
so
a very
did.
Good point, and that is true. He got together with the people in Philadelphia, especially Smith, Klein, and French people, and they would argue with me and debate with me, and I give a talk over there at the Philadelphia at this society building and the scientific societies there, and they had indeed, especially the pharmaceutical people, wanted not only the structures and the reactions and the information in one package. Now, at the time when they wanted this, and this is what started Index Chemicus, of course, at the time, getting picture diagrams, structure diagrams, and reactions was expensive in CAA. It took up not only a large amount of space, but it was very hard, difficult for printers to produce and editors to write these. Now, in Index Chemicus, he's willing to do that. He would spend a whole page on an abstract. We thought that was far too much. And so we weren't prepared to produce a quick cream of the crop, which he hit hard for the industrial users, especially pharmaceutical people. They wanted the data and information, a lot like Biostein. Diagrams and reactions and words, subject matter, to put together all in one package, and that's what he decided to do.
In a much more digested form than what you are willing to do?
The abstract itself is pretty much of a very hard, close-knit digest, hard to read. Mm-hmm. He thought that that's what industry wanted, was a quick, good picture of the structures and the reactions and the subject matter that would, which in one package would. No, we couldn't afford to do that for all of our abstracts. My God, no. It would have hundreds of thousands of papers a year. To do that was very expensive. It would have, Garfield went out and he charged, and he didn't cover half the literature in Index Chemicus. Don't you ever forget that. he picked out the what he considered the best journals and did the index in the index chemicals with the structures and reaction and the subject. Now, he charged a lot then for that when it started, and he was competing. That was his big thing with CAS, mm-hmm. to meet the needs of the industrial chemist. We couldn't make that choice. I don't think anybody could make that. He tried to make it, but every chemist who used index chemicals were kidding themselves that they were getting the literature of the chemistry. They aren't. They were getting inorganic, not inorganic, not other fields. And they were getting very little of the Soviet chemistry, very little of the other European journals or Japanese journals. They were getting less than half index chemicals coverage, and we couldn't afford to do that. If you cut down on a completeness equation, he did well. That was a nice package that he published in that magazine. And Garfield often told me that every time we increased our prices of chem abstracts, he would lose subscriptions because it was obviously by all the users, information scientists in the world, that he did not have complete coverage. He didn't. He had pretty good timeliness. Some of his abstracts were equal to ours, but there were a lot of them that weren't. He had good timeliness, he had good readability, abstracts in the field, he had a good chemistry, but he didn't have the quality. He never could index their publication, index chemicals was never good, and he didn't have completeness at all. Mm-hmm. Wasn't happening.
Were his structures searchable, or were they just presented?
He still has, but he... Once we started our registry system in 65, Gene saw that it was really the biggest thing, and one of the most proud things that I ever did was to get that kicked off, but put together. Garfield wanted, he saw that as one of the major threats to him. And it has been. He started a chemical registry system, which again isn't complete at all and not competitive, but as you know, he sold the company and the people that bought it is dependent upon that as a source of revenue, but in the long run over the years I don't think it will be able to keep it up and compete. I don't think our attitude has ever been one to force out competition or become a monopoly. Even though earlier we discussed this, but this was not a part of our philosophy. We liked competition. Fred and I used to argue about that. He would convince me, and he was right, that the competition made us better. And so when Garfield started his publications, both the with index chemicals, but also current contents, it's good. Competition is good. It helped us.
Which product are you thinking of that's the equivalent to the chemical registry system that he published?
He started one after that, maybe 5-10 years after that. Uh-huh. He started a registry system.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
But abandon it, or is it still going on?
I think it's still going on.
I'm trying to remember what the title
was. You've been up there at all?
Just in his office. I haven't
talked to him. The best gal there. She's good. She was head of the division, of ACS division in chemistry. I like her a lot. She's a very sound girl, got visions and capabilities.
I can't remember the title of the one, but I'll have to look that up.
She's a good, get her to show you around. She's Garfield went through his top people like a dose of salts. They didn't last long under him. Art Elias was one of the best marketing people in America, still is. He writes Art Elias. And Art left him, but a lot of people couldn't get along with that.
And you say this was one of the things that scared you all off about him.
Yes. Jay Crane bounty would be too difficult to handle. Jay didn't need that kind of trouble in the office at the time. I don't think Jay Crane really liked people with ideas. There were two on our staff. Fred Tate was one that had been here, and Russ Rollett, my editor, who I got back. Jay didn't like people that would upset the apple cart. And these, both of them, Dr. Tate and Dr. Rollett, if they didn't like a management decision, why they would tell him or talk to him, and he didn't like that. Reform.
Let's talk about ACES and your years as president there. You first joined what was then ADI in 1955, as I recall. What kind of organization did ADI strike you to be at that time, in 1955?
I wasn't very happy with ADI in the early years. I think it was 39 up to 55. The man that was responsible for it, I'm not quite sure why. I didn't think I'd gain anything out of it as my professional career. Once it became ASIS and changed its nature, became a membership organization. It became, to me, the second most important organization other than the field of chemistry, American Chemical Society. There had not been in this country or the world any information science. We didn't have it in our education, in our universities. We had no coursework. The closest thing that came to it was probably librarianship in some of the universities in America. But there weren't anybody in the field of training in information science. But we were all in the business of information science. It isn't recognized as a discipline. So I soon realized that we needed to get more experience in that field. Information science is what we were doing. And no one has ever come up with a good definition of information science, or anybody that thinks it's a discipline in science. There is, it's a combination of a lot of different disciplines like psychology and philosophy, and there's a lot of different majors that go into making up information science. So I felt as though it was important for us to learn to use the theories of information science, what theories there were available, what experiences there were available, and I became actively involved. And it was the only good work where chem literature people started in 49, but I don't think that any of them, they were mainly chemical information people, but had no theoretical training or background. I did not have any, and none of my staff had any, and so we had to get experience in this field, and we had to listen to the other disciplines in science to see what they were doing and to,
Well, you were fairly typical of the kind of person who became an ACES member, that is, a science person,
right,
who said there's something in this information handling business
that we don't know about.
Did you find that ACES was that best combination?
Oh, sure. It probably contributed more to my career than any other field other than chemistry. Yeah.
But now the chemical literature people were somewhat ACES-oriented, but mostly stayed by themselves.
You're true. Yeah, that is a good point. They did work together under the ACS division. It was not, though, broad. They were, as you say, limited to the chemistry, but the other fields of science had good people involved in the ASISs so that we could learn what was being done in the other fields, what was being training and education of scientists to do information work. But they were broader in scope. It's a heterogeneous type of organization and much wider than just chemistry and chemical information.
Yeah. Now, you were president in 75, and the SLA ACES merger discussions took place ended right before you became president. Were you in favor of that merger or opposed to it? Where did you stand?
I'm not sure I'm remembering it correctly. We had that discussion many times on the board, and at the time most of the board weren't in favor of it, and we had a number of the librarians that were in favor of it, but librarians then weren't, many of them, modern, progressive, up to date. They wanted SLA to restrict the field of librarianship to those who graduated from the library schools, and very few of the librarians in the 70s were progressive. Most of the librarians that I knew back then were of the order that they wanted a library where they could control and have people come in, and they would bring together just the information in their library. They didn't even want their books to go out on a lending basis at all. And so the field of librarianship has changed a great deal. I was on the advisory board up at Case Western Reserve for 10 years, and also up at the University of Pittsburgh. And we finally got Pittsburgh to change the name from School of Library to School of Library and Information Science. And the progressive nature of librarians has been, well, changing, I think. Mm-hmm. And there have been more modernization techniques have grown. And so I think that they've seen they needed to change, or else they'd die. Their survival of... Now, I'm told, and I haven't been involving in ADA or in ASIS, that it's being taken over by more of the librarian types. There are some people that don't think that's good. Information scientists should run ASIS, but more and more of the SLA. So I probably was not in favor of a takeover at that time.
Some folks, for example, Jerry Sofar.
Oh, we just break for a second.